Got your Bibles turned to Mark chapter 11 is where we'll be in the Word of God this morning. Mark chapter 11. I'm so full up this morning. Y'all done a wonderful job this morning. Wonderful job. Appreciate all that y'all do. Y'all haven't forgot about that, had y'all? Y'all remember that? Y'all gonna help me this morning, ain't you? All righty. You may not have your hands, but you still got your hands here. You can help me out this morning. You can wave your palm leaves. How about that? Every time you hear amen, you wave them palm leaves, okay? Celebration to him. It'll be good this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's what it's about, church. Mark chapter 11, if you would, let's stand our feet for the reading of God's word this morning. Mark chapter 11. And when they came nigh unto Jerusalem, into Bethage, in Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and said unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never, listen, man hath said. I want you to remember that. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord, the Lord hath need of him. Praise the Lord. And straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in the place where two ways met. And they loosed him, and a certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him. And he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strewed them in the way. And they that went before and they followed, crying, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, there's nothing I can do unless you speak through these stammering lips today. God, we have a thought and a burden upon our heart that you've given us. But God, unless you do the preaching, there'll be nothing that'll be of any effect here today. Hide us behind the shadow of the cross. Speak to us, Lord, today through your word. Thank you for these children and those that have worked, Lord, to put this together this morning. We just want to cry out, Hosanna to you, Lord, and tell you that we love you this morning. We want to praise you for who you are and what you are, a soon coming king. We thank you for that, Lord. We give you all the glory and all the honor. We ask all this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. Here we see the triumphant entry of Christ into Jerusalem and the great multitude praising and worshiping, crying aloud, Hosanna in the highest, blessed be the name of the Lord. We see that here in this chapter. It's a wonderful sight, a wonderful view. So this morning I got to thinking about what the Lord would want out of this service today. And earlier in the week, God spoke to me and give me the title of this message, simply entitled, Jesus, What a Wonderful Name. There ain't no name like the name of Jesus, amen. It's a wonderful name this morning. As we reflect upon Passion Week, I want to tell you today what the Bible says about the name of Jesus. We've talked about it, we've shouted about it, we've sung about it, we've preached about it. And I want to tell you this morning, I love the name of Jesus. I was out in the workplace this week, and I was going into a place to buy some supplies, and on my way in there, here come a gentleman out of the store, and he had a t-shirt on. All the way across that t-shirt, in big letters, it said, Jesus. Jesus, and I got close to him, and it said, right under in little letters, team. Jesus team. And he was part of Jesus team, and I said, brother, I like that shirt. He said, there ain't no name like the name of Jesus. Got me fired up right there in that parking lot. And he just confirmed to me the thought that the Lord had given me this week about this message, talking about the name of Jesus. And I'd like to reflect us upon some scripture this morning. If you'll look into Luke chapter 1, verse 31, Luke said here that the angel spoke unto Mary and said, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Thou shalt call his name what? Jesus. Amen. This morning, I'm glad for the name of Jesus. Over in Isaiah 9:6, the Bible says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. You glad this morning he's a mighty God? Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace, amen. They ain't no name like Jesus, amen. He's wonderful this morning. He's done everything for me this morning. I don't know about you, but he's made a way where there ain't no way. When the devil slammed the door, God kicked it open, amen, for me and said, son, go on through there. I've made a way for you. At the name of Jesus, I'm glad he can do anything this morning. You can say God all day long. Walk out in the marketplace and you can talk about God, and God is wonderful and we need to praise God. But when you say the name of Jesus, it'll stir everybody up, good and bad. This day of time, it'll stir them up bad. They don't like the name of Jesus. The devil don't like the name of Jesus. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to brag on the name of Jesus. He's my living Savior. He's wonderful. He's my Counselor. He's my Mighty God. He's the Prince of Peace, amen, in my life. Jesus, what a wonderful name. Amen. Amen this morning. They'll get with me. Come on, church. Help me out this morning. He is the newborn King. He's the everlasting Father. Over in Luke, he said there in Acts, Luke said over in Acts 4, he was one true God. The Bible says there in Acts 4:12, he says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given under heaven, listen, whereby that we must be saved except for the name of Jesus. I couldn't be saved through the name of Allah. I can't be saved through the name of Buddha, but I can be saved through the name of Jesus, amen. There ain't nothing like the name of Jesus. I want to drill it into you this morning. There's nothing like Jesus in your life. You can have a lot of things in your life. You can have a lot of accomplishment in your life. You can have great wealth and great health and all these great things. But you better have Jesus in your life. You better have Jesus. There's more than this life to look forward to. James said over in James 2:19 that he is our protector. If you ain't never read that, you ought to read that. He's our protector, brothers. He protects us. When the devil tries to come against us, he is our protector. Now, I'm not saying things ain't going to happen. Things are going to get hard and ways are going to get hard upon us. He's going to pile in on us. But he is our protector. There have been times I've waded into the mud plumb up to here. And it seemed like the devil would take everything he had in hell and throw at me. But when I got so much on me that I couldn't bear it no longer, that's when God stepped in and said, okay, that's enough. Jesus, glory, step in and take the weight off of me. I'm glad he'll take the load that I can't bear and bear it for me. He'll take it right off of me. Has it ever got like that in your life? The pressures of life get you down so hard that you don't know what you're going to do and you're just wondering if you can take any more. I'm glad He won't put no more upon me than He is able to bear. Amen. He ain't talking about what I can bear, but He can bear it this morning. He's the one that can do it this morning if we'll give it to Him. Why? Because He's our protector. James 2:19, He said, "Thou believest that there is one God, and thou dost as well. The devils also believe." And didn't stop right there. There's another word followed. The devils also believe. And the Bible says they tremble at the name of Jesus. They tremble at the name of Jesus. When you get the devil working in your life and everything's coming against you and you're trying to overcome, you're trying to be victorious, you know what you need to do? You need to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus." And the Bible says he has to flee. He can't stand the name of Jesus. That's why when things get hard in life, we need to call on Jesus. And you don't need to think it in your mind. You need to let it come right out your mouth. The devil can't control your mind. He don't know what you're thinking. He can put things in your mind, but he don't know what you're thinking. It's what comes out your mouth that the devil can use. And that way, when he's doing all these things and he feels like it's working, you need to stop at that moment and say, "Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Get thee behind me." And he has to flee. There'd be times at work I'll have persecution coming at me and I can't fall down on my knees right there and I can't cry out, "Help me, Lord, get thee behind me, Satan." But I'll look and whisper right under my breath and say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He hears that as good as if I was yelling. The name of Jesus, the demons tremble and fear. You know why? Because they know their days are coming. Their days are coming when he'll have the last say and he'll throw them into the bottomless pit and they'll finally be out of our lives and we'll never have to worry about it again. He's our protector this morning. He's not only our protector. Paul said it best over in Philippians 4:19. He's our provider. But my God, I think Paul knew what he's talking about. He said, "My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory." That's pretty good stuff right there. He didn't tell me I'm just going to get by. He said, "I'm going to supply all of your needs according to my riches in glory." Riches in glory. That's how he's going to bless us. With his riches in glory, amen. He's going to make a way for us where there is no way. That's what he's going to do. Who does that? Jesus. He's the one that does that. He's our provider. Paul also said over in Philippians 2:9-10, he said he's our power. He's our power. He's the one that helps us to overcome. He says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." He's given him a name that's above every name. You ever thought about all these fake gods they talk about and nobody really notices or says much about them? But you say the name of Jesus, you'll get the world's attention. I noticed them on TV this week, and some of them commercials said, "Yeah, we're going to celebrate the resurrection this week, and we're going to hide Easter eggs and get the Easter bunny." And they threw the resurrection right out and got right over to the Easter bunny and eggs and all of that and wanted to think about the Easter was all about the Easter bunny and eggs. Now, I'm going to tell you something this morning. I'm not against all this pagan worship and all that kind of stuff. I'm not for it. Okay, I don't worship the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus and all of that. But I'll tell you what, if you hide an Easter egg, you're not going to go to hell over it, okay? You're not committing the ultimate sin to hide an Easter egg. If you look through the Jewish way, the egg was at the Jewish feast. This is where that came from. And I could get really deep in this, but I'd lose you real quick. But if you want to study Jewish history, and at the time of the Passover, there were eggs there in that meal. And so it's not wrong to celebrate and to hide eggs on Easter, okay? Now, it is to put the Easter bunny in place of Jesus. Can I get a witness this morning? I don't know where in the world that come from, but they've always got to be a substitute for Jesus. They've always got to push Jesus out of the way. Now they got Santa Claus in the way of Jesus. I ain't against Santa Claus, but let's make Jesus first in our lives. Amen. My daddy and mommy wanted us to have a good childhood. They taught us about Jesus and the love of Jesus after they got saved. I remember one time, one Christmas, my dad wanted us to have a Christmas so good that he crawled up on the housetop over our bedroom and stomped the roof all the way up, shaking jingle bells. If I ever doubted there was a Santa Claus, I believed it that day. I thought, boy, Santa Claus is on the roof. And we was laying in bed, we was so excited, and he'd walk across the roof back and forth shaking jingle bells. And we had a chimney at that time, and I think he even dropped some things down the chimney to make me think he came down the chimney. You know, so me and my brothers tossing and turning in the bed. We couldn't wait, you know. Santa Claus has come, we're going to get everything we want in. And I got so excited, and about midnight, Mom always come in and get us, and we'd run in there in the living room and ready to open up gifts. But that Christmas was different. That was kind of Christmas that we had after Mom and Dad got saved, that they taught us about Jesus and what the true meaning of Christmas was. She wasn't against us having childhood and childhood fantasies, but she wanted us to know the truth. I'm telling you this morning, we need to teach our children the truth this morning. We need to teach them about Jesus and what the true meaning of Christmas is. We need to teach them about Jesus and what the true meaning of Easter is. It ain't wrong to hide Easter eggs and have all these things for Easter and Easter baskets, but teach them about... Amen. Amen! Amen. I'm glad He's our power. He tells us over in Isaiah 53:5 that He's our healer. Now, a lot of you I've talked to in the last few months, you've had a lot of issues going on, a lot of health problems. Your children's been sick, your grandchildren's been sick, you've been sick, your companion's been sick. There's been a lot going on. There's still a lot of sickness in our land, but I'll tell you this morning, He is our healer. Over in Isaiah 53:5, He says, "But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes." With His stripes we are healed. We're healed through the cross of Calvary. We're healed through the suffering there that Jesus went through. We're healed from these things that come upon us. Yes, the Bible tells us that there's a suffering in this life. The temple is going to suffer. It's going back to the ground where it comes from. One day after a while, you and I will breathe in our last breath and blow it out, and we'll step right off into eternity. What will be good when that time comes? When I step across that cold, chilly Jordan, there will be Jesus with His hand saying, "Come on across," and I'll cross right on over with no problem. It'll be good. Why? Because He's my healer. Death is a sickness that we're going to pay one day with this old temple. It's going to pay for it. It's going to breathe its last breath, and it's going to go to sleep in the ground. Now let me tell you this morning, the body is going to sleep in the ground. But there's something within that's not going to sleep. And it's not going in the ground. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When that soul comes out of the body, it's going straight back to the Maker where it come from. We're going to be with the Lord. We're going to be in His presence finally forevermore. What a time that's going to be for the children of God. Why? Because He's our healer. Ain't you glad He's our healer this morning? Can you think about what God has done for you? If you can't remember much of what God's done for you, you all that have children here this morning, look up here. This is what God has done. You couldn't even have this blessing had it not been for Jesus. We couldn't be blessed as a church had it not been for Jesus. We couldn't enjoy what we're enjoying this morning in the presence of God. God is here this morning. He is speaking to us this morning. He is allowing the children to worship and to praise. We ought to be up this morning. We ought to be praising Him. We ought to hold up our heads and praise a holy God. Why? Because He's worthy of it this morning. He's a mighty God that's worthy to be praised. But in this day and time, the praise is not popular anymore. Worship is not. When you say worship, it scares people. Used to you say the Holy Ghost, it scare people to death. You don't have to say that anymore, just say worship. And they're like, whoa, I can't do that. And people are doing a lot of different kinds of worships this day and time. A lot of it I don't go along with. But I tell you what, if it's magnifying God and they're glorifying God, you need to say amen and leave them alone. That may not be for you. You may not like it. You may not be for it. But if they're worshiping the name of Jesus, if they're lifting Him up and they're drawing people in and people are being saved, you ought to stand back and say, God bless them. That's about half of you. The church up the road, I've done said it, and the church down the road is not our enemy. They're our brothers and they're our sisters. We need to pray for them. I don't care what denomination they are, if they're trying to win people for God, we need to pray for them. He said to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. We're to go into all the world and be a witness. We're a light, a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. If you're trying to hide what you got, you better get to the altars and get it right. You shouldn't be ashamed of. That's half of you. We don't need to be ashamed. Let the redeemed of the Lord keep quiet. Oh, I thought it was keep quiet. Let the redeemed of the Lord say what? Say so. So if you're going to say so, you need to. You need to say amen. You need to be happy. It's Palm Sunday. Let's worship the Savior. Why? Because He's worthy of it. The name of Jesus, we want to keep Him out of here. We want to keep Him in the center of this thing. You need to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Come here, Jesus. This ain't Jesus, but it's a good representation. I love Brother Luke. In our lives, we need to trust Him. And when you're walking with Him, it should be just like this right here. It shouldn't be like this. And I can't get some... Come here, Miss Leslie. Come here. This walk between me and Him... Stand right there. It's not between me, her, and Him. It's between me and Him. I can't take her to heaven. I can't do nothing... She's got to have that relationship with Him. Just like I've got. She can be as close to Him as she wants to. She's standing a little far away from Him right now. She can get close. There you go. That's what kind of relationship she needs with the Lord. So she can walk with Him and talk with Him. And He can talk to her. And you know how close I want to be? You stay on that side. You know how close I want to be to the Lord? I want to be so close. I can hear His heartbeat. Hallelujah! This is how close I want to be. I want His arms around me. I want Him holding me like His child. I want to be that close to the Lord. I want to hear that heartbeat. That's what I want in my life. When I'm like this, the devil can't do nothing about it. He's always trying to get in here and pry me and him apart. But if we'll keep our focus on Him and love Him, God will bless our lives. He'll use us in our lives. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll go all the way with us, even down to the end of the world. When it comes down to time of dying, when I lay back and lay my head back, and it's that time, and I know I'm leaving this life. They've done dispatched the angels, and I can feel they're all around, and I've done got my eyes fixed on that heavenly place. Guess where Jesus is going to be? He ain't going to be sitting up there. He's going to be right here with me. And He's going to take me right on. And what a time that's going to be for those that love and serve God. We never know when we're going to die. Today could be our day. Today could be your day. We may live another 100 years. But I'm telling you today, we need to get Jesus upon our hearts. We need to get Jesus on our minds. In our lives. Our lives need to focus around Him. Every day needs to be about Him. I don't care whatever you're doing. I don't care if you're feeding cattle. I don't care if you're welding steel. I don't care if you're driving a truck. Your mind needs to be on Jesus. Because he's the one that give you the health. He's the one that blessed you to do what you're doing. It's the truth this morning. We need to love him this morning. We need to praise him this morning and worship him this morning and honor him this morning. I like what John wrote in Revelation 19, verse 16. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming back one day, and he's coming after a church that's ready. He's coming after a church that's prayed up, looking up, packed up, ready to go up. John said it the best. He's our soon coming King, amen. That ought to make you happy this morning to know that he's coming after a people that are looking for his appearing. I'll tell you what, they're not looking for him here in this life, but I'm looking for him to come about any time. When I study the Word of God and I try to figure out what needs to be fulfilled, what needs to be done, it's all done. Only thing I can't find that ain't been done is the coming of Christ. He could be today. Before we get out of this service, I know you hear it week after week after week. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. But I'm telling you, one day after a while, we're going to hear the last message. We're going to hear the last song. We're going to see the last play like this. We're going to hear the last testimony. It'll finally be the last one. And it could be today. I'm glad the blood has been applied. The blood is still flowing this morning. It's still flowing red and free for all those that will get under the spouse where the glory runs out. He can change your life this morning if you'll get in the glory. He said he had a storehouse full of blessings, Brother Jake. If we just ask him, he said, I'll give it to you. He ain't got it up on his shelf, so if we ask him, say, okay, here you go. Here's you some. But we got to step out in faith and trust God. And when it don't feel right, say it anyhow. When you don't want to, do it anyhow. Step out on faith and love God with all your heart, and he'll bless your life. He'll bless you this morning. He inhabits the praise of his people. Let me give you this thought and I'll be done. Talking about Palm Sunday, when the Savior came into town there that day, he sent the disciples and said, go and get the young colt and bring him. I need him. I want you to bring him to me. And we're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's healed the sick. He's done all these great miracles. You know, and all these things have happened, and everybody sees he called his disciples. All these things have taken place. And he could have said, boys, why don't you go down there and get me that gold chariot right down yonder and bring it. And then them really nice stallions, them high-dollar stallions, I want the best that Jerusalem's got. Go get it and bring it, because I'm the King of Kings and I'm the Lord of Lords. And I want the go get that, because that's what I'm coming in on. I want them to know that the King is here. I want them to realize that. That ain't what he said. Y'all ain't getting this. Y'all ain't seeing what I'm seeing. He said, go and get the colt, the young colt, one that ain't nobody ever rode on before. You go get him. Okay, Lord, we'll go, but they ain't going to let us have. You tell them I need it, and you bring it. And you can imagine this. Here's Jesus. They're bringing that little young colt. I'm young people. They ain't work for God. Here's that young, strong colt. They come in, they throw their garments on him. And they get the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let me help you, Lord. And they put him up on that colt. And here Jesus comes into Jerusalem. Picture this in your mind. He's riding on that young colt, donkey. He's riding on a donkey, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Why? He's showing you and I we need to have some humility in our life. Well, he came down to the lowest of the low. He came down to those that were brokenhearted, those that are of contrite spirit, those that are rejected, those that are cast out. Those is the one he came to. And he wanted to realize that day, I'm not coming on big stallions this time. I'm not coming in the finest Rolls Royce. I'm not coming in a Lexus. I'm on this donkey and I'm going to ride into town. And I'm going to let them know who I am. He came in humility. He humbled himself down. And here they are waving their palm leaves to him. Y'all wave your palm leaves for me like this. Wave them up. Well, wave that one. That'd be good. They're waving their palm leaves. Can you imagine? They're waving those palm leaves. Give them palm leaves. Let them come out here and wave them for me. Come on. All of you come down here with me. You're going to help me finish this thing. Hurry now. Come on. And they're all coming. Here Jesus is. He's on the donkey. Come on, Jesus. Come on down here. I ain't got a donkey, but you can come on down here. Guys, all come right here for me. Here's Jesus. He's made himself humble before the city in Bethage and Bethany. We could go into that, and I could go into deep study on really what that place was, a place of rejection of people. And I could give you that this morning. It'd be a whole nother message. But Jesus went here, and even some philosophers or some would say that this had been some of the leper colony. People had been rejected. But here was Jesus amongst those that were rejected. And he was made low and he's riding on a donkey. And he's coming through town. Y'all go ahead and walk on out through there. Wave them palm leaves for me, okay? And he's coming into town and they're crying, "Ha, Hosanna! Praise to the King!" And he's made himself low to reach these people and love these people and honor these people and show them that he's here for them. The humility that Christ has shown, you've seen it here this morning. And then a week later, the love is gone. The humility is gone. And men are rejected. How easy we forget. How much Christ loves us. How much Jesus loves us. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible has told me so. Little ones to Him below, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. He loves you this morning. No matter what you're going through, where you've been, how hard it is, He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm Hosanna, and I will love you until the end." Let us pray. Father, as we come to you right now in Jesus' name, in this next few moments, Lord, we pray that you'll deal with hearts. Should there be one here today lost without you, maybe today will be the day, Lord, they'll come and accept you as their Savior. Lord, I pray for those that are here that are saved or that need to make a move for you. Maybe they'll come. But God, in the next few moments, Lord, as our pianist plays softly, I pray that you'll speak, Lord, to these that are here today and that they'll respond to what you have given them. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed,